Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right. Our assignment from yesterday. Give me 1 second. My screens are jumping all over the place.
If it's not one thing.
Well, I'm convinced with practice I'm going to nail this one. Right. What do other people expect from you? They expect me to ... record and listen.
Okay.
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, dear.
Good morning.
Oh,
hello,
yay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so happy to be here. And surprised I got on the line. This is Chris.
Happy to have you here. What do people expect of you?
Well, that threw me for a loop at first. It was like, well, who knows? I haven't the slightest idea. But then it was, in different areas, seems like there are different things, you know, like with the family or with friends or at work or what fun one was with what my dog might expect. It was just all fun things and providing for her and being sweet to her and playing with her. But this one, who the heck knows what they expect. For sure at work, it would be to show up and to pay attention and, be on time, be willing and able.
Well, it's really interesting, isn't it, Chris? Because what you're saying is to me the truth of the matter. Who knows what people expect? But that doesn't stop conditioning from projecting what they expect, which again, right, brings us right back to what standards am I being held to that I assume are, right and how it should be, and how are those being projected onto other people and creating situations and relationships in conditioned mind that have perhaps nothing to do with me or anybody else.
And maybe because I'm so close to them, with my parents, it was easier to see what they expect and then to see sort of the meaning attached, like whatever, be smart or be successful or this and that and the other. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm not. And then that equals I'm bad or I am, and that equals I'm good or, trying to.
I'm disappointing them. They're disappointed in me. They wish I were different.
Right. Except that I know that's not true, which is nice. But for sure, I'm a conditioned American human, there are lots of things that are just there alongside of knowing I'm unconditionally loved and supported.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the razor's edge, isn't it? That we walk in practice. Right? I know I'm unconditionally loved, and yet there's this deep, deep conditioning that much of which can skate along underneath conscious awareness.
Yes, yes, and bring suffering that we're not even really aware of. That
right.
It's so that's what's so fun. part of what's so fun about doing this workbook, you know, or this retreat and this year-long program, because it's every day. And the projection part surprises me almost every time. And it's like I do the exercise, and then it's like, you know, then I looked at what today's assignment was this morning, and I was like, oh, yeah. standards by which
oh, write
like,
that
oh,
again.
Yeah, well, that's what others are judging us, or the standards we're judging others. And it's like, oh, it was like, oh well, yeah. I mean, it was just so fun. And when there's no self-hate, it is just pure fun.
Let's underline that. When there's no self-hate, it's all just pure fun.
Oh,
even the being fooled, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so in love with practice, and I had the best time as a visiting monk, and it's just workshop city, you know, being out here. It's just, I mean, I went to the dentist, and that was a workshop. I went, you know, just drive, go to the grocery store and get the ingredients for black bean burrito casserole and that I'm going to make for my mom for Mother's Day, and that was fun, you know, but the spices and all the choices and just being with my, you know, being with Chris, and it was just without
the best.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm smiling all over, Chris. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Srini. Thank you all. Just love to the Sangha. And I'll talk to you soon.
And back to you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris.
That's one lit up visiting monk.
I know. Right? I was just going to say, that's the recipe for everybody, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And for all those people out there who are listening to voices going, oh, no, I don't want to do that. That'd be too hard. Oh, my God, no way. No. That's what people sound like after they – so just to give away the whole plot, usually the first 2 weeks are – this really was a mistake. The voices were right, right? Mm-hmm. And then at about the two-week point, ego just gives up.
Mm-hmm.
And the next 2 weeks are about the happiest a person would ever get to experience in their whole lives.
And then there's those 2 days before you leave where it's the countdown to my other life, right? And all of the attending anxiety. Yes. Yeah.
And then, as Chris says, seeing it all, it's a workshop. I go to the dentist, it's a workshop. I go to the grocery store, it's a workshop. You know, and now I get to do in the kitchen meditation, fixing a meal for my mother on Mother's Day, a monastery recipe I noted.
Yes.
So, it's good.
Right. It truly is. Well, and it goes back to our exercise, which is, when we recognize that the expectations are projections and that we actually can be present to how life is rather than in that suffering story of what's expected of me, and we can see how we get caught in that without self-hate, then there's a way to expand awareness to be present to how life is and what conditioning is doing in its space and just still go about life.
Mm-hmm. Enjoying it.
So that place of the unconditional love can hold any experience for the human being and the ego. And so we can actually straddle all of those experiences in awareness, the divine, the ego, and the human, while we go about our life. That's the gift of practice to us.
And having that period of silence and solitude just puts us in such a perfect position to be able to experience exactly what you laid out.
Yeah.
Because that's all that's going on.
Yes, and we just keep moving from one of those pies, if you had a chart of the pie chart, right? And you keep moving from one, you happen to be deeper in one aspect of it sometimes, but the ability to be okay with how all of it is, I think that's part of what Chris was describing.
Yeah.
It's just a workshop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Jill in Philadelphia.
Hey, Jill.
Well, hello, Jill.
Hi there. How's my sound? Am I okay?
Yeah, you had a little echoey for a minute.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, there. The system just muted me and then unmuted me. So as I was busy telling you about how great you sounded.
Well, I'm glad we're all on now.
Happy so, we're all on.
Happy we're all on. Yes, yes. And I really enjoyed that last conversation. I was remembering being a visiting monk and how much it really... it just blasted open this reverse projection that was happening around it where, there were a lot of stories about what other people were thinking about my going away for a month and all of this stuff. And then just the opportunity to walk through that and see, like, nobody was thinking what I thought they were thinking about it.
Yeah.
And even if they were, it lasted 2 seconds. It wasn't something that they really,
dwelt
personally.
Upon.
Yes, they did not dwell upon it. So that was really a great experience.
And you know, Jill, what just to slide this in quickly, many people know this, but for anybody who doesn't, in the East, the Far East, that kind of behavior is accepted. It's common. It's
right.
Understood that people need to go away from their lives to find that silence and solitude, to get in touch with the divine, to get on course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that it's necessary to do it with regularity to stay on course.
Mm-hmm.
And here, it's such a bizarre notion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you were going to, I just talked to somebody, as a matter of fact, who's going to Europe for a month. You know, and with that, most people go, oh, that's great. I'd love to do that. Wouldn't that be? But I'm going to a monastery for a month. It's like, I don't know how to think about that. And so for us to normalize it would be a great gift. Because
yep.
It is essential
mm-hmm.
to a fulfilling life.
Well, it definitely feels that way. And while you were saying that, I was reminded of, my parents do this, and many of my friends' parents love to go to casinos. And and that is completely normalized. And
uh-huh.
I find them to be, I've done enough practice that I can, try and enjoy myself everywhere, but they're not my favorite places in the world, and I rarely, rarely go. I think the last time I went was 10 years ago. But that is completely normalized. And like you're saying, for something like taking time for doing what your heart desires
mm-hmm.
is just something that doesn't feel like, yeah. It was a great exercise for me to really, see all the stories that I thought were moving against my going, and some of it real, some of it imagined, whatever, and just walking towards that that trip anyway, and then just watching it all fall apart, that all the stories, and
mm-hmm.
That in itself was really. Yeah,
in a way,
of admission.
Yeah, in a way, it takes us, doesn't it? To the real question is, what do I expect from myself?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not in a conditioned perspective, but from a this here now place. What do I expect from myself? And that can have an element of course, what do I want for myself? What am I working to be for myself,
mm-hmm.
which takes us back to that deepest desire of my heart,
mm-hmm.
and a growing, if you will, expectation that living that is my choice.
Yes, yes. And instead of all of those things that I wrote on my list about what I believe people expect from me, to start instead listening to something else and moving towards. So instead of that being the quote-unquote reality that I'm living in, that instead of living, I'm listening to something else and mm-hmm. moving towards something else that that I've always wanted, you know, and that I never felt like I could have because I was too busy trying to fit in with all of this other, what other I thought other people expected of me. And then you realize, like, oh, wait, they don't really expect that of you. You're an adult. You can, you have agency, and you can make choices, and you can still show up for your relationships with people in your life and go on retreat or engage in practice or whatever felt like it was not, quote-unquote, not allowed.
I think it was yesterday we were having a conversation about judgment, which feels to me like a key element of conversation too, right? Because if your parents got information from you that you had judgment about what they enjoy doing, what they choose, whoops, too many phones, what they choose, then that can put up a defensiveness that would put them in a place of resisting what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But if we're fine with everybody else's choices in life, then the odds really get bigger that people are going to be fine with ours.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why people enjoy other things.
Right. It can be interesting, huh?
It can be interesting.
Kind of fascinating. Exactly. Huh, what is it about, those things that, well, I don't know, but
I know.
If it makes them happy.
And it does, which is so baffling to me. So I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
But then I get to go towards what makes me happy. And
that's right.
It doesn't have to be what is on their plate. So.
Right. Yeah. So good. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jill. Oh, what a fascinating conversation, Sherry. I mean, so many things that the expectations prevent us from actually being present to what it is that life wants to express through me, through what life wants for life in this form, and to recognize that I am manipulated by that conditioning, which is projected on other people. It may not even be true, to accommodate to a way of being that is not true for me, and therefore actually prevents me even from exploring what is true for me.
Yes, and what I just saw when you said that is the bamboozle. We got to do another book, Ashwini. We got to add another series of bamboozles because
that fits nicely into communication, right? Because we're getting information only from one system, always.
Right. So what I saw when you said that is, so I'll bring it to me, okay? So I can't be with what life authentically animates this person as. You know, as I think you said, what life wants for life in this form. I can't be with that because I have to meet all of these expectations from other people, which I'm meant to believe will produce for me what will satisfy me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the deep assumption behind that is that if I were to be with what life is animating this form as, I would somehow not be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I would be selfish. I wouldn't care about other people. I wouldn't want to participate. I wouldn't want to serve. I would, because it would be all about me, which is ego's version of having all of life for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that hang together?
Absolutely. I think what you're saying is so that doing what people expect of me will deliver what it is that I want.
And what they want.
And that's not true. And the thing that I saw when you said that, right, Sherry, is what we absolutely all want is unconditional love, which is the reason we fulfill expectations, hoping that we want to get it. We get that from someone else by doing what they want. But the point is what Chris started out with. If we got that the unconditional love was a given, it's not what we need. It's not what we need to do to get it. Then the whole construct falls apart, right? And then now we're a choice. And I love the way Jill said, I'm free to do what takes care of me and be in relationship authentically with everybody else and what they want to do, rather than in this suffering place of trying to meet expectations and accommodating, and nobody gets what they want, including their access to unconditional love.
The good news is it's kind of one-stop shopping. I love it when it gets so simple and straightforward. It's not like we need to fix the 10,000 things. It always comes back to the same solution. When we are when we're no longer being dragged around through life by ego, when we just stop and let life animate us perfectly, which it is perfectly capable of doing, then all of these problems fall away.
And there's the process. All right, let's have someone else online talking.
All right.
Here we go.
Can't just be us having fun.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Hey,
hello,
Ellie.
Ellie.
My heart just left in my chest.
Uh-huh, good. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
You can just say, oh, I feel so alive.
Yeah. I loved the person talking about being a visiting monk. I just totally went there. And it's just amazing the impact having done that last year has had on all of my life.
Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't line you people up so that you'd do a commercial on being visiting monks, right?
Nope.
Nobody called you ahead of time and said, be number three on the visiting monk. Excuse me.
Nope. It just, I've been doing the Q workshop for a while, and today is the day. But that's actually one of the things that I've seen that's shifted so dramatically is that I show up every day for this, for practice in a way that I don't think I realized was possible before I went and spent a month at the monastery.
Because showing up, that's a really good point, Ellie. Showing up is kind of maybe an unseen but really powerful transformation. Because ego wants us to believe that we can only show up when we feel like it, under certain circumstances, if everything is going okay, and blah, 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 blah. But for a month, you just show up, and you realize you can. And
yes.
And beyond that, doing that makes you happy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's something that has actually started to become a little bit of a challenge in the last week, 2 weeks or so, that I've been noticing that, there's times when I'm not able to get on the call and that I got talked out of listening to the recording afterward. And the ability to not get into beating myself up or not get sucked into that beating very much. Like, the beating came up, and it was like,
no,
I don't need to spend time on that. I can just go back to my commitment.
Yeah. I could even listen to the recording instead of having the beating.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yes.
And
which is an argument for being less than what ego would say is a perfect person. Because then we get to see we get to have our opportunity to choose compassion.
Yeah. Yeah, and to just, love this person in all her messiness.
Yeah. Right. And in fact, Ellie, I would say get over calling it messiness.
Mm.
Just love her.
Yeah.
We don't need to, again, that's the expectations, right, or the standards, that there are certain things that are okay and certain things that are messy.
Mm.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah. It's just been really transformative to be able to show up for myself in this way and to see it reflected in just like what I do for practice and in my life, and it makes everything easier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, easier, more pleasant, more fun, happier. We slide into those words, don't we? When we get, again, Chris Dardis, when there's no self-hate, it's all fun. And that's what we get to experience. And that point that we were just talking about, as long as conditioned mind has the ability to judge us, to decide was that okay or was that not, then we are vulnerable to those attacks. And when we get to the unconditional, I don't care. I love her unconditionally. She is a fabulous human being, and I love her unconditionally. Now, I'll help her with anything she wants to work on. I will, because I love her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I started doing something in my recording and listening practice a while ago, and that's at the end of each of my recordings, I always say I love you, and then I say thank you for choosing like love and compassion or magic and practice or presence and delight, like whatever kind of drops in at that moment. And even if the recording, like I would get kind of identified and lost my way during the recording, it always ends with that, and it just brings me back to what's true and what's here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you can go back, because we can, and listen to those recordings, and you can gain some clarity about where she got tripped up or, what happened to her. Help her get clarity about that, and then thank you for choosing clarity. I love you. Thank you for your commitment to waking up. I love you. Thank you for devoting your life to ending suffering for this human being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
And hi to everybody listening. Love you all. Thank you, Sangha.
All right. Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ashwini.
Thanks, Ellie. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. And here is our assignment for today. It's on page 46, and the assignment is to record the paragraph, listen to it, and then record what you notice. And here it is. Oh, I'm sorry. That was our assignment for tomorrow. So the assignment for today is, the standards by which we think others are judging us are the standards by which we're judging others. What do you see about that? Record and listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's that burning Zen question. Now, how do I know that?
Yes. Hmm. How do I know that?
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. You're a trooper.
Thank you,
with
Sherry.
Technology. Oh my gosh, it's gonna come together. I just know it is. I feel it in my bones.
Yes, and we'll see everybody on Monday.
Yes. Have a lovely weekend. Take good care.
Take
Treasure
good care.
Yourselves.